here's a story from The World.
Denmark announced this week that it's on track to meet its ambitious climate change goals. By 2030, it's aiming to cut carbon emissions 70% from 1990 levels. It won't be cheap. Climate Minister Dan Jorgensen says it'll cost billions of dollars. But he says it'll also create jobs in the renewable energy sector. Denmark is a big player in wind energy. In the last decade, a major Danish utility has transitioned away from fossil fuels and become the world's biggest offshore wind developer. How did they make the change? That's now on The Big Fix.
We have come here to let you know that change is coming, whether you like it or not.
Can we turn this around?
We have no other option.
The only option that we have is to succeed.
What we do now and in the next few years will profoundly affect the next few thousand years.
The World's Anna Kussmer reports on the reinvention of the Danish energy company Ørsted.
Ørsted produces the electricity that powers a fifth of Danish homes. And in the 2010s, they completely changed their business model.
We no longer produce oil and gas and have decided to stop all use of coal to focus entirely on green energy.
In a decade, they went from producing 85% of their electricity from oil, gas, and coal to producing that same percentage from renewables. They had been called Dong. But in 2017, they released a promotional video reinventing themselves.
Because of our transformation, Dong, originally short for Danish oil and natural gas, no longer reflects who we are. So we're even changing our name to Ørsted.
Ørsted, an 18th century Danish energy scientist, lending his name to what is now a massive wind energy company.
What they've achieved is off the scale. They're the biggest wind producer in the world.
Dave Jones is an electricity analyst with Ember, a clean energy think tank. He says Ørsted is, in fact, one of the only energy utilities in the world that has been able to simultaneously grow its renewables and shrink oil and gas production.
It takes an awful lot of vision to have such an aggressive strategy like that. So what they've done is amazing. It hasn't been repeated many times.
So how did they do it? Partly, it comes down to government energy policy. Finn Mortensen leads State of Green, an organization that promotes Danish renewable energy.
My argument would be that we had some far-sighted governments and civil servants at the time who could see that there was a possibility to start focusing on wind.
Mortensen says the global oil shortage in the 70s led to decades of government incentives for wind to grow in Denmark. Subsidies, state-backed research and development, carbon and pollution taxes, support for rural energy cooperatives. Ørsted is benefiting from all of that.
The government backing was simply key to the success.
The government prioritized wind, and it worked.
They had a faster transition to wind energy than any other country on Earth.
Benjamin Sovacool is a Danish energy policy expert at the University of Sussex in the UK.
Denmark is the size of Maryland, and yet they compete with China for the number one manufacturing of wind turbines.
Two of the world's biggest wind energy manufacturers are in Denmark. You know that classic wind turbine design, the three spinning blades? You can thank Danish engineers for that. So it makes sense that the country's biggest energy utility would eventually capitalize on one of the country's biggest innovations. Ørsted's exceptional leap towards wind was actually kind of a no-brainer. Here's Sovacool again.
They didn't get in the way, but they certainly didn't accelerate it much either. They kind of just went along with general trends that were being pushed politically and socially.
Sovacool says Ørsted also has the benefit of the stable and reliable Danish energy market, and it's helped the company's bottom line. Years of state-supported innovation have led to a massive decrease in the cost of wind in Denmark, and the company has expanded internationally. They now produce around a third of the world's offshore wind, mostly in Europe, but also on the east coast of the U.S., in Taiwan, Japan, and Korea. Here's Finn Mortensen again, from the Danish Renewable Energy Organization.
If you look at the capital value of the company, it has gone up dramatically since 2016, when they really got underway with wind development.
The company reported more than $10 billion in revenue last year.
It has turned into a virtual cash cow for the Danish government. They still own 50% of the stock.
In the first 5 years of its transition, Ørsted accounted for more than half of Denmark's carbon emission reductions. Glenda Napier heads a new energy innovation organization called Energy Cluster Denmark. She says Ørsted's decision to scrap oil and gas in favor of renewables created a ripple effect.
I think it just pushed the whole sort of green agenda a lot more than if they would have kept both activities up until now.
The company's success helps to solidify Denmark's role as a leader in wind globally.
I mean, they can attract the best people. They can attract the best sub-suppliers. They are very competitive in the market. They have moved in the right direction at the right point of time.
Attracting the best minds can help Denmark push the technology even further, Napier says, in Denmark and around the world, to develop new ways of storing wind energy and use it to power cars, trucks, even airplanes. For The World, I'm Anna Kussmer.
Ørsted today announced they inked a deal for a new ship to help build and maintain offshore wind projects off the east coast of the U.S. They've got several wind farms here in the works, but have faced regulatory delays in getting them built. Today's deal marks a step forward. Do you have a question about how to solve the problems that come with a changing climate? Email your question to climate@theworld.org.